Attention Patriots, this is the Chris Ann Hall Show.
Who's gonna stand up? Where are the lovers of liberty?
I think that's absurd. It's ridiculous. It's unconstitutional. It's out of control.
You think this is over? This isn't over. There's a liberty wave coming.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Rise and shine, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal. Chris Ann Hall here, KrisAnnehall.com, where we are liberty over security, principle over party, and truth over your favorite personality. Welcome to the show, my husband and co-host, JC Hall. We are here today to bring you the current events from a constitutional principle perspective. No spin, no propaganda, and no historical revision. I think that JC is going to particularly enjoy today's show, and because of our lineup dealing with the Supreme Court and this headline that you are probably seeing all over the place about how Gorsuch has sided with the liberal justices. And I'm sure, as you can just imagine, that it's not what they're, you know, what the headlines imply them to be. But what's really, really interesting about this case is a matter of fact that it not only gives us a little bit more insight about Gorsuch and kind of makes me like him even more. After Justin Amash has shot me in the foot, I'm really sort of hesitant to put myself out there. It's like, yes, go guy. I like this guy. So I don't have to backtrack. You know, I mean, 9 years. That's why I've never really been an endorsement kind of person, because when somebody does something so outrageous, you don't want your name attached to all that, right? But JC, this also gives us further confirmation on Kavanaugh. And I'm interested in getting your take, once we get through the whole mess of it all, on Alito and Thomas in particular. Alito, Thomas, and Kavanaugh side against Gorsuch and the others. First, before I want to go, I want to show everybody something. I shared this on social media today, but I wanted to talk about it here on the radio show because I know many of you guys don't do social media. Do you know there's a large number of listeners that have abandoned social media, JC?
Right.
They have jumped on the JC bandwagon, and a lot of them do follow us on YouTube, so... Mm-hmm. So they're there. They're like, yeah, we don't do Facebook anymore. We don't do Twitter anymore. It sucks the life out of your day and melts your brain cells. And I know you don't get on YouTube and leave these, but the comments that we get are just phenomenal. I mean, they love you. They love the candor with which you speak. How's that?
Okay.
But
I don't intend on changing.
Well, no. Okay. 23 years, okay? 20, going on 23 years now. No, JC is not changing.
I can attest to that. He's still working on me.
Yeah, maybe. All right, so Janet is the first person who brought this to my attention, our assistant Janet, and she says, this is not satire. And not that I didn't believe Janet, but I had to go verify for myself, because this is, I did actually a double take, whatever it was, a research double take, an intellectual double take. Yeah. I was like, what? So the headline is, former U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton to keynote FireEye Cyber Defense Summit. Are you... This is like, if you have one of those little cartoon emoticons, mind-blowing thing. So I did, when I first saw this, JC, I did exactly what you did. You just laughed. And then the more I thought about it, JC, the madder I got. Because you know what this is? This is just a public mocking of the rule of law. This is spitting in the people's face. I mean, so we go through all of it. Yesterday, we talked about how Congress has put themselves above the Constitution, destroying due process just so they can get at Trump. You know, the seizing records without proper warrant through Fourth Amendment procedure and all that other stuff. So what we're doing is we're destroying due process to get Donald Trump, but ignoring the rule of law when it comes to Hillary Clinton. But not only did we not ignore the rule of law when it comes to Hillary Clinton, but we're also now mocking the rule of law and celebrating the criminality and the depravity of Hillary Clinton. There are Americans in prison right now serving time in Leavenworth for violating the same laws Hillary Clinton violated, and now she's going to be a stinking keynote speaker. I have no idea how much they're paying her for this, but you know she's not volunteering her time. Getting paid to be a keynote speaker at a
cybersecurity
summit.
This is funny to me. I don't know. You're mad.
It was funny for me first. It was funny for me first.
Laughing.
It is. I just.
It was like Magic Johnson, the keynote speaker at the International Celibacy Summit. Right? Like, what?
Yeah. So, if you want ultimate cybersecurity, make sure you have a staff that is armed with hammers.
Right?
That's your ultimate cybersecurity, armed with hammers. Secure your servers with hammers. I don't know, JC. I can't laugh over this anymore. It literally makes me sick. I see in my mind the very same immoral, tyrannical, oppressive ideology that they saw during previously prior to the French Revolution.
Mm-hmm.
Right? This is what I see in my mind. And I just wonder. I wonder how much more has to happen before we get sick and tired of this. Before something happens. I stole a quote from one of our followers. Because the bottom line is this, you ultimately cannot blame the clown for being the clown.
Right.
You have to blame the people who keep going to the circus. And this is what's happening.
Yeah, who
this is why I cry. This is seriously why I cry.
Because I'm thinking, who are the idiots, you know, in charge of cybersecurity? And you want advice from this lady?
Who?
With the server in her closet?
Who are the people that are going to pay to hear Hillary Clinton give a key? I mean, she's not, JC, she doesn't even have a breakout session.
Well, people pay to.
She is the keynote speaker.
People pay to go to, you know, comedy clubs.
I don't think that's what they mean here. A keynote speaker is the person who delivers the address that is supposed to be the epitome of the principle or the standard of the meaning of the meeting.
Right.
I don't know. You guys laugh. I just laugh because if you don't laugh, then you have to cry with me. I don't know. I'm laughing on the inside because JC has his Deny Everything t-shirt on today. So... I don't know. Did you? You had no idea we were going to deny everything. Oh, my God.
In the safe house in Milwaukee. Good, nice restaurant.
It's an awesome restaurant.
It's kind of Russian spy, you know, Cold War spy theme.
Cold War spy theme. Restaurant. The whole Russian collusion thing blowing out the water right there.
And We're not getting paid to advertise. So.
No. This is not a paid advertisement.
I just like it. Anyway, that's my shirt.
They had good food, too.
Yeah, so I don't know. I just think it's my Keystone
shirt,
Cops.
My shirt is Socialist Suck.
Right.
That can be found at chrisannhall.com on our Liberty gear. And I am getting paid to promote that.
Mm-hmm. If you buy a shirt.
Because if you buy a shirt, then I get paid to promote this. So here we go. I'm going to set us up for the rest of the show where we're going to talk about Neil Gorsuch siding with the liberal justices. Do you know, JC, I hate that.
Mm-hmm.
I hate the tribalistic ways the media speaks about our Supreme Court. I think that that simply helps to endure this idea that our politics are that our justices are driven by politics. I don't know if it's
never a headline that says these justices, you know, line up with the Constitution or they support the Constitution or whatever.
Right.
There's never, I mean, that's the standard. It's not what party or what political ideology, right? You know, that's how they report it. You know, these justices lined up with this particular political ideology,
right,
and these other side lined up with this particular political ideology. Well, that's not the standard. The Constitution is a standard.
Yeah, and in this case, by the way, it's really hard to delineate between liberal and conservative because it's not your typical liberal conservative kind of subject matter. And why isn't the headline Thomas sides with Kavanaugh or Kavanaugh sides with Thomas or something like that, right?
Yeah, it's always the camp, the tribes.
It's got to be tribalistic. So
you could report that often because, you know, they don't always rule, you know, as groups or rule. There I go again. They don't always issue their opinions.
These things are,
you know, in a fixed group.
Yes.
So you could report that like every week.
Right.
You know, hey, Kavanaugh's on this side. Now Gorsuch is on this side and Thomas is on this side. So it's kind of silly because that's just not the way it always falls out. The liberal group is on one side, the so-called conservative group is on the other side, and they're always that way. No, there's always one jumping back and forth.
Well, and here's the thing. If you understand, if you take the time to actually read the issue and understand what's going on, you understand this is not a liberal or conservative issue to begin with. And it's just the media, once again, trying to create a reality that doesn't exist to divide the people and, again, to break up I think it creates a stupidity in America.
Liberty's lobbyist Chris N. Hall has now taken control.
Welcome back to the Chris N. Hall Daily Journal. Chris N. Hall here with my husband and co-host JC Hall. We're about to dive into this Supreme Court case where the headlines are Gorsuch sides with the liberal justices. And as we were going into the break, JC, I remarked on how I believe these headlines deliberately dumb down the Americans. And this is why I think, because number one, people just look at the headlines and they think, well, I've learned all I need to learn. Nobody actually looks at these cases. And I think one of the things that gets prolonged then is this mental brainwashing that the American people can't possibly understand what a Supreme Court justice says.
Yeah.
These things are easily written. And you were saying something during the break about how this is also dumbing people down.
Yeah, that they always frame it, you know, generally Republican versus Democrat.
Right.
So then you never actually, the people never actually have to know anything about the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, oh, were they on the liberal side? Were they on the conservative side? And that's not the question.
Right.
The question is, does this opinion line up with the Constitution and the original intent of the drafters? So the headline should read, Court contradicts the drafters of the Constitution. Court agrees with the drafters of the Constitution. Mm-hmm. Court disagrees with the drafters of the Constitution. Right? That's mm-hmm. how it should be reported.
Right. Well, this is a case about contract law. So I want to give you a hypothetical, JC, okay? You have a burger distribution business, Okay? And you make a contract, an exclusive contract with, I don't know, Colton's Burger deal. Right? So you make an exclusive contract with Colton's Burger Joint, and you say, okay, we have now this contract, and in this agreement, Colton's Burger Joint has certain rights and privileges under this contract. Well, come along 2 years later, you decide to make a contract with Vivian's Burger Joint. And so you make another contract with Vivian's Burger Joint. Well, Colton's now Burger Joint is still trying to exercise the contract between that you have. And you simply look at Colton's Burger Joint and say, you know, we don't have a contract anymore because I contracted with Vivian, so now our contract is null and void. And what do you, I mean, you didn't go to law school, but you understand that's just common sense, right?
Seems pretty obvious that, you know, I mean, you're violating your contract with the first guy.
Well, that's the premise for this case today. This is a case, Herrera v. Wyoming. Now, let me lay the line here. Clavin Herrera is a member of the Crow tribe, Indian tribe, okay? And in 1868, the Crow tribe ceded most of its territory in what we know as modern-day Montana and Wyoming to the United States. In exchange, a contract was formed between the Crow tribe and the United States, where the United States agreed that the Crow tribe would have the right to hunt on all unoccupied lands of the United States so long as the game may be found thereon and peace subsists. So we don't go to war with the Crow Nation, and even though you have ceded us this territory, you can still hunt on this territory. So that's the original contract, okay? A few months after the treaty was signed, Congress established Wyoming as a territory. And Congress provided within this new territory that it would not impair the rights or the contract that was previously created with the Crow people. So we have a treaty with the Crow Nation. Remember, the Indian nations are not part of the United States. They are a foreign country within our boundaries. Mm-hmm. We've made a foreign treaty with them. Right. You give us the land, you get to hunt, right? So here's the thing. The following year, Congress passes the act that allows the President of the United States to set apart and reserve tracts of public land owned by the United States as forest reservations. Exercising that authority, President Grover Cleveland, just so our libertarians know out there, Grover Cleveland designated some of these lands in Wyoming as federal reserves. Now, Wyoming Forest reservations under the federal rule. Wyoming says that when Wyoming became a state, it nullified the contract between the United States and the Crow Nation. And when Grover Cleveland made the land federal forestry land, it is now considered occupied, which nullifies the hunting rights. We'll get back to this in just 1 second.
Can't learn the easy way, you'll learn the hard way.
Chris and Hall, she's Liberty's lobbyist.
Welcome back to the Chris and Hall Daily Journal. So let me just sum up what we have now. We have a contract between the United States and the Crow Nation. We have now parts of Wyoming designated as federal land. We have Wyoming as a state, which is a new contract. The United States, state of Wyoming has made with the other states to be part of the union. And so what we have now is the premise that because Wyoming became a state, that it nullified the contract with the Crow Nation. Further proof of the nullification of the contract with the Crow Nation was Grover Cleveland's designation of this portion of the territory as Federal Reserve land. But here's the problem. The court says, now that's including Gorsuch and the liberals, excuse me, we made a contract with the Crow Nation.
Right.
Congress never made any specific written or intentional claim that that contract was negated. I know from these Western state constitutions that there is always a provision within the Western state constitutions that says you have this land, not including the Indian nations within your boundaries. We've read that in these states.
Sure.
So when the state of Wyoming became a state, it had to be aware that any portion of that state of Wyoming that had already been contracted to the Indian nations was still part of the Indian nations. It makes things complicated. I do understand that, because you actually have
unoccupied land,
yeah.
not their lands, but that they could hunt on any land that's unoccupied.
Right.
So the federal government is saying, and then they come along and we designate it forest reservation.
Mm-hmm.
That's not occupied land. That you just basically put a different label on unoccupied land.
Yeah.
But they did not cease being unoccupied lands just because you decided to call them by some name, right?
Right.
The federal, whatever they call it, the mm-hmm. forest reservation, these, what are they, federal national parks and whatever
right.
it is.
So the first argument that Wyoming makes is
first off,
is
how does the United, right, capital U, capital S, United States, how does the federal government lay claim to any, it doesn't have the authority to lay claim to any lands for these forest reservations in the first place?
No, because remember, that's an act created by Congress. That's why if you're watching us up on YouTube, I put that text up there that the act of March 3rd, 1891 allowed, look at what it says, empowering the president to set apart reserve tracts of public lands owned by the United States as forest reservations. Okay, first off, the only ownership of land authority within the Constitution is for territories, which at this point Wyoming was, and for forts, ports, dockyards, and you know, those and needful buildings, right?
Yeah. So essentially the military stuff.
The military stuff for protection, for
right.
foreign in, you know, for, yeah. for foreign things.
And then of course the 10 mile square.
10 square, yeah,
DC.
10 mile square.
That's the only thing in the Constitution.
Right.
That says you know, the United States, the federal government can have this land. So it's clearly laid out. It's not like, oh, we forgot to mention this, we forgot to mention that, or that this is here, that's not here. There is a list. There is a specific list of property that the federal government can possess. And no such thing...
Constitutionally,
no such thing as a forest reservation is in the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, no national park is in the Constitution. If any kind of park or preservation area, whatever, that's a state authority. If the
mm-hmm.
state wants to have a state park, then the state can have a state park. So the federal government has no authority to do that in the first place. And then you have Congress. I mean, this is violations from the very beginning.
I know, right?
All throughout this thing. You have Congress inventing powers for the president. President, you now have the power to designate something that's not authorized in the Constitution in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
First off, Congress can't invent new powers for the president. The Constitution is what lists every power for every segment of the federal government.
And
to add powers takes a constitutional amendment. There has been no constitutional amendment granting the president the authority to designate lands in addition to the lands that are specifically enumerated in the Constitution.
And ladies and gentlemen, this is the kind of boldness that you can have by studying the Constitution with us. JC's not been to law school.
I've been to Liberty First University.
Liberty First University. And so here what we have is Herrera is actually prosecuted by the state of Wyoming for hunting on this land. Wyoming says you're not allowed to hunt on this. First, because this is now occupied land, right? Because the federal government, the federal government has declared it a federal reserve. Therefore, it is now occupied. I don't think that means what's popping in my head, but we've been saying for a long time that the federal government has declared occupied lands within our states. And here we have the state of Wyoming making that declaration. Now, they mean that it's not, when they wrote the treaty, unoccupied lands meant unsettled lands. And they're saying, no, these are settled lands because the federal government has deemed them to be forestry service. That's Wyoming's argument.
So now I realize the headline should read, Thomas, Roberts, Alito, and Kavanaugh declare that the federal government can violate its own treaties.
Yes.
That's what the headline should read.
That's what it should read.
Kavanaugh and the liberals say no.
Gorsuch.
Gorsuch and the liberals say no. The United States must abide by treaties that it has signed.
It gets better, JC. It actually does. So now what we have is the courts. Oh, I forgot. Let me point out this. Let's go back to this here on YouTube. I found it very interesting.
By the way, this messes up Trump Jesus, the doctrine of Trump Jesus.
I know, it does mess up.
Because one of his divine picks is on one side, and then the other divine pick is on the other side.
Yes.
So I'm not sure what you do in that case.
So look at this. Sotomayor is writing this case, this majority opinion, and I find this very interesting, JC. She says, so Wyoming says, the state first asserts that the forest became occupied through the federal government's exercise of dominion and control over the forest territory, including federal regulation of those lands. Sotomayor says, no. As explained, the treaty's text and the historical record suggests that the phrase unoccupied lands had a specific meaning to the Crow tribe, a lack of settlement. I find it very interesting that Sotomayor, of all people, wants to refer to the original intent of the contract. You see, I'm not crazy, JC. This is contract law. When contracts come into question, the courts in contract law automatically go back to the original intent of the parties who ratified the contract.
Yeah, but that's the thing with the so-called liberal justices. They don't have a problem upholding the Constitution when we're talking about a non-white, non-male defendant. So it's the fact that these are Native Americans.
Non-Christian.
It's a minority, right? So yeah, they're fine with that.
So here is the dissent. And I will give you the dissent, the reason for the dissent. We have Thomas, Kavanaugh, Alito in the dissent, okay? So Alito writes this. The two primary points, just as a summary in the beginning. Number one, the reason why we disagree with the majority court, number one, is because it goes contrary to
precedent.
Number two.
This is a shocking statement.
Yes. Here. No. This is the least of the statements. Number two, it undermines the authority of the court. So the majority of the dissenting opinion.
Alito wrote this.
Alito wrote this. He says, so there are two principles at play here, two judicial principles. And the first one is simply kind of a double jeopardy kind of thing. So you don't get more than one bite at the apple. So this particular principle is not so bad. It's where they go after that. He says, the idea is straightforward. Once a court has decided an issue, it is forever settled as between the parties, thereby protecting against the expense and vexation attending multiple lawsuits, conserving judicial resources, and fostering reliance on judicial action by minimizing the possibility of inconsistent verdicts. So, succinctly put, a losing litigant deserves no rematch after a defeat fairly suffered. So you don't, once you take it to the court and the court has decided that you've lost.
What court?
The Supreme Court.
Okay.
You don't get to keep going back.
So he's saying this defendant already had a case or what?
No.
I don't understand. How does
so
that apply?
So he's stringing two principles along, right? So he's saying this principle combined with this principle, the judicial principle called federal issue preclusion. Once an issue is actually and necessarily determined by a court of competent jurisdiction, that determination is conclusive in subsequent suits based on a different cause of action as long as it involves one party to the prior litigation. So once we decide a matter and it involves JC's burger joint, any case that comes against JC's burger joint that is similar, even if it is in different cause of action, is now settled already because we once said before.
Boy, that's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard.
This is what I'm talking. This is the power of precedent that rules over this.
Tell me how Dred Scott lines up with this.
Judicial supremacy.
I need you to explain how Dred Scott lines up with this idea.
We'll do that.
I'm a long, long way from my home, and I'm going to change all the things I find.
The Chris and Hall Show.
Welcome back to the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal. Since we're going to talk about this Dred Scott application, I want to remind everybody that JC has an amazing class at Liberty First University, America's Hidden Black Heritage. You can go to chrisannhall.com. You can get it on DVD version, or you can become a member at Liberty First University and have unlimited access to this class. You can learn it so that you can profess it and find out about the Black Founding Mothers and Founding Fathers, the free Black men and women who built America prior to the Emancipation Proclamation.
So if I'm hearing this correctly, mm-hmm. then Alito still believes Black men are property?
No.
I mean, because that case was settled.
Right.
Supreme Court ruled in the 1800s in Dred Scott, contrary to the Constitution, that Black men are property.
Right.
That's settled.
Mm-hmm.
He said once it's decided, these things are settled forever.
Yes, that's exactly what he said. With the caveat, unless we decide to re-decide it. So we have Alito,
do we have
Alito
a sound
and Thomas.
Clip from Princess Bride? Because I don't, forever apparently doesn't mean the same thing to me as it means to Justice Alito.
I know, this is what you get.
How can such stupid people end up on the Supreme Court?
Can I switch this around? How can such highly educated people believe and speak such stupid things? I think that's what we have. And it has to do with cultism, because you know cultish mentality makes you brain damaged.
Okay, so what is the real, then what is, since all of what is being said here is completely nonsensical, what actually is the real motivation? Have you given that thought? What really is going on here?
This is all about.
I mean, there's something else.
This is all about, well, I don't know.
Why are these four siding in this manner?
Judicial supremacy. We know Kavanaugh is a judicial supremacist.
Yeah,
we know he's a precedent worshiper.
Right. So would this be changing? This would somehow be flipping something the court said? So they'd be going against the court?
Yeah. No. Right. And that's maybe I didn't bring that forward clear enough. The majority court says, look, in the past, we have had an errant view of this contract negotiations with the Crow tribe. There are two cases prior to this that would have settled this in favor of the dissenting opinion. So the dissenting opinion, and so what Gorsuch and the liberal justices are saying is, look, we have failed to follow contract law. We have failed to follow and keep our treaties with this Crow Nation. We actually have a case that has come along that has helped guide us and see our rights, our wrongness.
Okay, well,
and so
I think
now
I get
we're
it.
Going to link to this, and we're going to correct our error once and for all. So you have two cases that Alito...
No, I get that. Right, I get all that.
But what does it connect to in the real world? You have two cases that side with Alito and a subsequent third case that build this premise.
Right.
And Alito says, the third case doesn't specifically say this. And now the majority court says, we're going to specifically say this.
Right. I get that. Okay. But I'm talking about connecting to the real world.
Uh-huh.
So these guys, basically what's going on here now, you just had the what was that thing? The pipeline thing.
Right.
I forget what that was called. With the Indian
Keto
lands.
Pipe. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
About the Indian lands and the big protests and whatever. So these guys are looking out at you know, this opening up this can of worms. They don't want to face. They don't want to face the reality. And I'm sorry if you know conservatives, you have to go cry in the corner at me saying this.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't want to face the reality that we have violated treaties with these Native American nations, and they feel like this is going to open up a can of worms if we make a decision that leans that way. Now, all of a sudden, the Indians are going to be demanding all of these things. In other words, demanding that we follow the treaties that we made.
This case does not lean a certain way. This case specifically says we have to honor these treaties.
Yeah,
now this whole pipeline thing is really going to blow up in their face.
Well, I researched that stuff, and so whatever, the conservatives can throw a hissy fit if they want to, but you research the history of that. And the United States has violated that particular treaty at least three occasions that I found.
Well, I'm going to republish an article that I wrote on that pipeline because it's not only a violation of the treaty, JC, it's a violation of eminent domain. Such terrible violations the federal government engaged in with that. And we'll put that back up so people can read it. God bless you guys. See you next time.